And welcome. This is Steve Gilmore, and this is take two of the Gilmore Gang for this week. We had an aborted effort last week, and I just want to say before I get started that any of you folks in the chat room who were upset with our decision yesterday, I just want to explain something. This is a live recording session. What we're doing is recording the Gilmore Gang, and we're greatly appreciative of anybody who wants to sit in on this. But if for some reason you feel that the professionalism of the show or anything about it is not to your taste, then use your mouse button and click elsewhere. Thank you. So we're going to talk about some interesting stuff today in the wake of the Obama administration collapsing and the reason that this is all as a result of Apple's tablet being released next week. So to join me in that effort, I'd like to welcome first Sam Whitmore.
Hi, Steve. Good to see you.
Good to see you again. Next to Sam, at least visually for me, is Kevin Marks. Welcome, Kevin.
Hi there. Nice to see you again.
In the middle, as it were, he's more to the right in politically, is Andrew Keen. Welcome, Andrew.
Hello, Steve.
And how's that lozenge treating you? Oh, good. Can you hear me, Andrew?
Yeah, very, very well.
Okay, excellent. Just, all right, and then, of course, the inimitable Robert Scoble. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
On the phone, we have from CBS News Central in New York, we have Dan Farber. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Hey, Dan.
Let's see. We're going to get a picture of you up in just a second. There you are. And also joining on the phone is one quarter or one third or one half, depending upon your perspective of the Clue Train Manifesto, the great Doc Searles. Welcome, Doc.
I see. 195th, I think. Or, yeah.
195th. In other words,
95%? 195th. I wrote one of the other 95 theses.
Oh, I see.
The first one.
Just the first one, though. Yeah, I mean, the first one always counts more.
Well, that's the only one I know for sure. The rest of them, I don't remember.
Well, the internet, you can update, and nobody can tell who is, whether you're a dog or whether you're whatever you are. Exactly. So we're about to have a major announcement next week from Apple, and I think that this is actually, as Robert Scoble shows us, what caused this announcement to be made. I think that I agree with Robert that it is the impact of the Kindle that has brought Apple into the fight. Perhaps more quickly than they would want to, and actually, I think that what also brought them into the fight was the Nexus One's release several weeks ago. So, Sam Whitmore, give us an overview of what you think about the technology disruption and how that's playing out in the media.
When I started watching the tablets late last fall, I thought, oh great, this is going to be the successor to storytelling in print. This will be the device family that will fill the seam between television and 2,000 word magazine articles. But I hosted a Churchill Club panel earlier this month, and I had Krishna Bharat from Google, I had Becky Buckman on, Ken Doctor, and they all laughed me out of the room. They said these tablets are simply incremental distribution for content types that are already out there. They will not sell very well in the first 12 months, primarily for battery life and cost purposes. And that if content providers were that interested in developing multimedia books, multimedia storytelling, they'd be doing it independent of the hardware so that it can run on smartphones, so that it can run on laptops and netbooks. So,
well, that sounds like what Steve Jobs said just before he shipped the iPhone.
Well, that's right, and time could change that. But I just wanted to express my disappointment that these tablets are not going to quantumly enrich us with rich content. I'd like to think they would, but I don't think they will.
Do you agree with that, Andrew Keen? I mean, isn't this the, from your perspective?
I don't agree that has anything to do with Amazon and the Kindle. I'm not convinced that what impact that's having. The fact that you guys, I don't have one of them, and I don't think I'll ever buy one. Doesn't seem a very attractive product. Whereas the Apple, in theory at least, sounds very attractive, and it certainly might be a product that I would buy immediately. I mean, it does depend on the device in terms of the publishing business. The publishing business tends to be very conservative. And unless publishers embrace the medium, it doesn't matter how good the product is. So I'm not sure whether there's necessarily a connection between the appearance of this exciting product next week, or potentially exciting product, and the emergence of interactive books. My guess, though, is there are enough free-thinking, progressive people now in the publishing business or on the fringes of the publishing business to at least use this this product in a creative way. So I'm very excited. I usually, as you know, I usually don't get very excited by technology, and I'm not some sort of fan club person of Apple, but I am very, very intrigued by what they come out with next week.
Sam, do you sense any kind of disagreement with what you said, even though he said he did?
I don't know. Not really. To me, you know who we really ought to be, and I don't always, you know, I always tend to help you moderate, Steve. But Robert Scoble spent all that time at Podtech, and he was trying to pioneer storytelling content on the web. And I think his opinion is really the next one we ought to hear about. You know, forget the hardware. Just what is the potential for new kinds of content and new kinds of accomplishment in content with these new devices?
Well, I look at the National Geographic, which is up on the screen behind me, right? And I have all of the issues of the National Geographic on a hard drive that they sent me. And it's pretty nice, but it's a pretty staid reading experience, right? It's flat. I mean, if you get to some of these pages, there's really beautiful maps and beautiful imagery, great photography, but it's and there's advertising. But it's not interactive. I mean, imagine you had this page, but then you touch this map and the map comes alive in some way, that videos pop off of the map, or the map turns into a 3D thing that you could turn and study different things about this map, or you could, you know, as you mouse over it, you would see different things popping off. Or I was at a company that makes the Lego kiosk. If you go into a Lego store now, you go up to the kiosk with a Lego box, a physical box, and you show it to the camera, and then a 3D model of the Lego that's inside that box pops off the box as you turn it, and it stays on top of the box. And they showed me a book that looked like this, right? But you aim it, you show it to the camera, and then a UFO comes off the page and starts firing at the book, you know, and there's a little fight that happens above the book as you're holding it. It's really, really cool stuff, and it's stuff that you can do today technology-wise. It's just we haven't seen somebody paint the picture for us yet and give us a device that really puts that kind of media all together.
All right, well, I want to bring in Dan Farber about this, and I want to preface that by saying that I don't think that's has anything to do with what this disruption is about. I think this is a move toward satisfying the gulf that's widened between broadcast media and what I call micro-community media. The ability of small targeted groups of people to be able to have an interactive experience over social media to be able to get real value out of the emerging media. So, Dan Farber, could you comment on what Robert and Sam and Andrew have said?
Well, my reading at this point is it's less about, you know, new content experiences, because I think we're just at the beginning of that, because it costs time and money to develop those, just like Robert was saying about the National Geographic. They really didn't have time to go back and make all that magazine interactive in the way we would expect for the web. I think this is much more about razors and razor blades that Amazon and other few others started selling these razors, and turns out there might be really good business selling the blades. And Steve Jobs has been biding his time, and he's probably got a product that he can be proud of, and he's ready to roll it out and make trouble for Amazon and the others.
Doc Searles, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree totally with Dan. I think that what Apple's going to do is, at the same time, they're going to fix several businesses at the same time that are kind of log-jammed and moving slowly. One is the netbook business and the tablet business, which has not produced anything that anybody loves in quantity, that a lot of people love. There's a real log-jam in publishing and in where television is going to go. I mean, television is off the air. It's been on cable. Cable is stuck because they want you all to buy their own siloed set-top boxes. Apple's going to eat that business. They're going to put it all on a little thing you can hold. I agree about the razors and the razor blades. The thing is, it's going to be an expensive razor. That's the difference. It's not going to be a cheap razor. It'll be an expensive razor.
Kevin Marks.
I think the interesting place that Apple hasn't explored deeply is very high-definition devices. The only one they really made was the original Nano. And if you look at the screens on the more recent Google phones and what having that many pixels in that smaller space gives you, you start seeing possibilities there. And I think that may be the place that they're going to go here. So we may end up with something that's smaller than we're expecting, but still has an HD screen on it, because you're assumed to be holding it here rather than here. And that will mean that it can fit that nice sweet spot in between the phone-like device and the laptop-like device, because it's smaller, it's more book shaped, but it has a very high density display, so you can actually 250, 300 DPI display, so that you can read a book or a magazine with perfect quality or watch HD video on it. That's the space that they haven't explored up to now, and that's the space that I think is missing. And I think that there was some interesting speculation a while back about whether they're going to be using a Kindle, like next generation Kindle-like display that can do motion video but have that same basically reflective rather than transmitted light model. That may be the ace in the hole. But the interesting thing for me is that moving to a very high density display means that you can start having very, very high resolution experiences. Now, we've started to see these high resolution zooming experiences on the iPhone and on experiences like Google Maps and so on, where the assumption is that you can zoom in and see more. Don't page between things, that you zoom in and out and experience things. I think that's going to be an interesting possibility for how we use these things. If you think about how you use the browser on the iPhone as opposed to how you use the browser on the desktop, you are zooming in and out a lot more and assuming that you can move around things. I think that sort of fundamental change in how we're thinking about the service we're using is going to be part of the experience of the tablet, and that may be the difference between it and the way the Kindle treats everything as very paginated, very static, and still very pre-formatted.
Robert, you said you don't think so?
I just don't think that they're going to use a screen like the Kindle has on it, because the Kindle screen is an e-ink screen that has, actually, if you look at it under a microscope, little balls, black and white balls.
Yeah, the next generation of that.
I don't think it will, because you can't make these kinds of screens react fast enough to do HD video and to do gaming.
I think this new
device is going to be totally about HD video and gaming.
Dan Farber, do you agree with that? I think you were talking more about more fundamental disruptions than the kind of high tech or 3D experiences that we're starting to see in movies.
Well, I don't really know enough about it. I'd kind of doubt that they would go for a really super high price point. I think that the space that they want to be in is a person a Kindle, where just like they've done in music and movies and other things, they have another device in which to pour content in and you know, have people pay a toll that they collect and have a platform. I don't know how closed or open it will be, but certainly Apple has a lot of experience in this business model.
One thing, Steve, is I bought this app called Level 26, which is done by the guys who created CSI, and it looks like a book, right? It has a lot of text on it, but let me see if I can if you go through the pages, it makes sound, but if you also look, they've created videos that are part of the experience. This content experience is very compelling, but on this form factor, it just leaves me lacking. I don't like reading on the iPhone. I have Kindle on the iPhone, and I have some apps like this Level 26 app, which you can buy for, I think, $13. But I want a bigger screen. I think this
you want
tablet,
more pixels, Robert.
I want more pixels because I want to watch video, and I also want to read better. The Kindle is a better reading experience than the iPhone because the screen is slightly bigger, and it does matter. And even the Kindle is not that satisfying to read a long, long, you know, book on.
Well, I don't agree with that. I mean,
I
haven't
read a lot
a book.
On it, so.
I haven't read a book in a very long time, and I've been reading the John Lennon biography, which I believe I've got. I have it here in hardbound.
I'm getting a lot of fuzz on the audio.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of noise here.
Yeah, I don't know what that's coming from. I think it's Andrew.
Better.
Andrew, just raise your hand when you want to say something. I'm going to put you on mute. Okay. Here's the John Lennon biography. It's 813 pages. It sat on my shelf until I dropped some coffee on it, at which point I brought it in here, and I still haven't read it. I've read about 62% of it on the Kindle. The Kindle gives me the ability to stick it in my jacket pocket to be able to, if I'm sitting there waiting for my daughter to get done with her music class or whatever it is, I can pop this out, turn it on, takes 3, 4, 5 to load. Here I am where I was, which is on, it doesn't say page numbers, it's 68%. And I can get through this book, which no other medium would provide for me. I think this is a substantial, I mean, put it this way, the publishers, the book companies, are going crazy trying to stop this from penetrating to the point that iTunes did with the record business, at which point the price pressure to keep things under $9.99 or at $9.99 is going to be so intense that they're going to have to go to these other experiences. And that's what Apple is doing.
Yeah.
Most likely, we'll find out next week, that they're offering a premium value where the publisher can control what the price is.
Steve, I think there's three use cases that Steve Jobs is going to talk about. One is the classroom and digital textbooks. One is the back seat of the car, where my son already plays with iPhone and watches DVD movies on a screen in the car. But having a bigger screen would allow a new kind of experience there. And one is the couch and the integration with my HD screen in the living room. I think Apple TV is rumored to be coming out. If I have a tablet that is always on, and already we are seeing rumors that the new tablet will have connectivity with Verizon and AT&T, I think all three of those use cases do see the kind of disruption that you're trying to pull out of us.
I'm glad someone mentioned Apple TV. That's totally part of the plan. Has anybody seen this demo of Sports Illustrated, the multimedia edition that's been produced over the last 2 or 3 months? Has anybody seen this?
No.
Well, I will press this. I don't know if I can. Let's see. It was done. It was overseen by Josh Quitner and the Next Issue Media team. Next Issue Media is the consortium of time and Hearst and so forth. And the gist of it, it runs about 3 minutes long. You press the cover and it turns into a video. You can rearrange the pages any way you want. You can get instant message and live sports updates, scores, and so forth. And this is the kind of thing that I think Jobs would love to demonstrate on the 27th. Yep. But I think to Dan's point earlier, there aren't enough talented people with enough multimedia production skills to produce at scale the kind of content that's being flashed around now.
Yeah, I completely agree with what I think you're saying, and I think what Dan was saying. I think Doc was saying it too, in a certain kind of way. I don't think that the disruption here is about the technology. It's about the real time and digital nature of this transformation of the media industries. You wanted to jump in?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I think that we're at a point, and I'm speaking from the point of view of being a writer rather than a reader. I don't think that from a writer's point of view, the Kindle is in any way radical. Doesn't change anything. The fact that you can put a little thing in your pocket rather than a book is neither here nor there.
No, I don't think it's radical, but I
as
think
a writer, well, I'm just talking about as a writer. Though, I think we're at a, let me finish. I think we're at a point where there's enough information now on the internet, interesting information, where writers will be able to put texts together, if you like, a hypertext book that will tie together so much interesting information, whether it's textual or audio or video on the internet. And as a writer, I could imagine using this new device as a kind of platform to put together a next generation book. I don't think you need any new technology. You just need links. So I think we're ready now for a major leap forward. I think there's enough stuff on the
I think you're right about that, but I think you're underestimating the power of the Kindle platform to have brought Apple into the game. I think that the combination of the Kindle and Nexus One has created both an opportunity and a requirement for Apple to be able to step up their game. They invented the mobile phone space, you know, the so-called super phone or smartphone space. But at this point, they're being in a reactive mode. What are they going to do to be able to continue driving the innovation that they triggered, you know, 2.5-3 years ago?
I think you're wrong. Where's your evidence for that? If the Kindle had been so successful, why haven't Amazon even announced sales numbers?
If the book publishers are going to 3 months.
No, answer my question.
I am answering your question. The book publishers have gone to 3-month embargoes of selected titles as an attempt to drive up the price beyond the $9.99 proposition. The reason they're doing that is because they feel and fear that, like Apple with iTunes, the Kindle has gotten so powerful that it's starting to be, you know, they're starting to be commoditized as suppliers for Amazon's store, just like the record companies became suppliers for the iTunes store. And there have been two major disruptions in the last several weeks, one of which is the Nexus One basically calling into question Apple's continued supremacy. It doesn't mean that Apple is hurt by this. In fact, I think that they've been helped by the competition coming from Google. But this is a substantial play. Google has unlimited advertising power in terms of marketing these devices and, therefore, the apps that are part of those devices. So, you know, we'll see 100,000 Nexus One Android apps, you know, coming online over the next 6 months, I think. And in the reader space, you know, what Amazon is doing in preparation for the announcements next week is that they're opening up the Kindle as an API platform, which takes the cost of the book of creating text and perhaps audio integrated information and putting it in the hands of the authors directly, thereby bypassing the publishers and putting pressure on both the publishers and Apple to come up with some sort of a economic strategy that's going to be viable as people move from physical to digital media. That's that's a profound impact.
But back in the late 90s, the record industry was terrified of the RIA, and that wasn't justified. I mean, you're right in broad, abstract terms.
The record industry was terrified of Napster, and with good reason. And Steve Jobs basically came in with an economic model, which was to sell, as Dan right. Farber puts it, by seling the blades for a dollar in order to sell the razor, which is where he's making all his money. And he's moved phone.
Look, I think we're in agreement that we're at a profoundly transformative moment in the history of publishing. The question is, what we're debating is whether it came with the Kindle or with this new device next week. I don't see the Kindle as being very important. I think it'll ultimately just be a footnote.
Well, it was important compared to the absence of anything before it. It did give people an idea of what was possible. The battery life is much better than any laptop or netbook. It's super light. For a monochromatic display, it's very crisp. But it didn't have a store until last week, and there were a lot of things to be desired about it. So I think Amazon deserves a little bit more credit because it did raise the game. But the Apple tablet is going to have the richer content faster. Yeah. And the distribution.
Yeah,
Steve, one thing that's changed in the last 5 years has been the development of these HD cameras. I mean, the flip cam now is $200. This is a high-end Canon 5D Mark II, which does 1080p video. But a lot of people can afford these. These are still expensive, but they're coming down in price very radically. We just bought a 70, which is about $1,000 less than this camera already. And that lets us build these new video experiences that people find compelling. I mean, look at the explosion of YouTube over the last 2 years and what that's done. I'm expecting that Apple on Wednesday is going to also bring out an Apple TV, a new Apple TV, and they're going to show how this new device is going to join these big screens in my office with my iPhone, with the big screen at downstairs. And in some way, he's going to show us a cool new experience that's going to let us slide content we both create and watch from device to device.
Yeah, but I agree with that, and I agree with Andrew's suggestion that that the release of what Apple is going to release next week is going to be, perhaps have greater impact than the Kindle has had in the long run. But I wouldn't underestimate the Kindle because no matter how much firepower you throw at this in terms of color, et cetera, the bottom line is that I have friends who are completely computer phobic who understand this and went out and bought it, and they're now spending, $1,000 a year on books.
Yeah.
And they weren't doing that a year ago.
It's about distribution.
But what I'm saying is the impact on the actual creators of the information, records, music. I mean, music used to be a primary source of cultural influence.
Steve, that's no longer true.
And I believe that it's about to be true again, because I think that these interactive, real-time technologies, what we're doing with this environment right now, at relatively speaking, a hundredth of the cost of what this couldn't be done with 5 years ago.
Right.
This is the forerunner of a wave of content. And I know Doc hates the word content. And by the way, he says the Kindle is a dumb phone for books. We should say that on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
say that on
here.
The phone, Doc? Okay. Yeah. What, you want
to? I don't hate the term content. I just don't want it applied to everything. That's all.
Okay. So, if somebody can come up with a better word for what we're talking about, I'll certainly use it.
Steve, let's take your friends who are
somebody went away typing. So
hang on a second, Robert. Okay. Go ahead, Doc. Say that again.
I said somebody was typing, and it was stopping on everybody.
Yeah. Oh. Stop typing, guys.
It's Andrew, I think.
Yeah. Oh, we killed him. He's
he's muted.
Right. He's consigned to the dustbin of history.
Yeah. Well, I want to say that I think that the sure, give all the respect in the world to the Kindle. It did a great job of introducing the world to one silo that does things one way, and I think the API is a cool thing, but it's late in the game. Apple has wanted to fix the they like to fix markets, to come in with something that's a gotta-have-it, can't-refuse-it, absolutely fabulous piece of hardware, and then verticalize the crap out of everything else and fix several markets at once. And publishing has had trouble, and television has trouble right now, and you know, you're gonna have it's gonna be a subscription machine. You're gonna be able to subscribe to a zillion different things with it. It's gonna make a lot of publishers real happy. It's gonna make, it's probably gonna piss off a lot of cable television, but, they're already pissed off anyway. They've got trouble. But he's gonna go direct, and he's gonna use his Hollywood connections, and it's gonna change a lot of things all at once. And
okay,
unfortunately,
absolutely,
it's gonna be completely closed.
Absolutely true. However, how quickly and in which order are these disruptions going to occur? I think that people who are talking about how Apple TV or any of these, you know, the Wii or Xbox 360, I mean, there's a lot of talk now about how you can basically get, you know, television over these devices and that you can bypass cable. Do you really think that is going to be successful in the next 6 months? Okay, Sam, you're nodding yes. Justify that.
Well, Peter Kafka wrote about Apple negotiating with the TV networks. Why should you pay $100 a month when all you want is Lost or all you want is whatever it is?
This
five
is the
or
same
six
argument.
Shows.
This is the same argument that was made in the record business. You know, with you know, why would you want to pay for an album that had all good songs on it. Prior to the Beatles, every album contained one or two possible songs, and the rest of it was crap. The reason that the cable companies want you to pay for all the crap, they want you to buy everything at a price that can't be decomposed.
Yeah, so you bypass the cable companies, and that's what Apple's going to do.
Oh, you think you think the Comcast is just going to sit there and let that happen? I don't think so.
What can they do about it?
They can do what they're doing.
They have no choice.
No choice.
Just like the phone companies. Do you think the phone companies just sit and let the iPhone happen? No, but they did, and there it is.
No, Steve Jobs broke the back of the carriers and the phone companies by taking on a very vulnerable one of them. When Nexus One was released, it basically ratified control of that industry. So the record industry is now under the control of Apple and Google. Do you disagree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
no.
Okay, so the record industry, you know, has fallen apart as a result of a complete lack of talent, and the maniacally stupid
managerial talent or musician talent.
What have you listened to a record recently? Have you actually bought?
Yeah, I've lost the great ones.
Okay,
actually.
Who like who?
You're an old fart, Steve.
Yeah, of course I'm an old fart, but I'm also right.
And it's your show.
I mean,
hey, you know what Don said? Let's go.
Janis Joplin, the Beatles, the Stones, Miles Davis.
Yeah,
tell me who those people are that are coming out now. Come on, Nora Jones, give me a break.
Zoe Keating, she's brilliant.
We are so off the track.
We have different tastes.
No, we're not off the track.
So what happened to the record industry is that the singles market came back. Okay, they blew up the singles market with the CDs. The singles market has come back, and suddenly they've realized they've got a singles market again.
Really? And do you know how many records are sold right now, so-called platinum record these days? The top of the charts is about 50% smaller in sales than the bottom of the charts in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. The record business has completely collapsed.
Yeah.
Okay, so That's not, just a fact.
We're not buying
now, music. I'm not arguing.
Look
the recording
right,
industry.
So look at Spotify in Europe. Spotify in Europe, which is the rage over in London and Europe, you type Black Eyed Peas and it instantly starts playing it. Why do you need to buy anything anymore? That the model of buying a thing from the record companies and putting it in your rack is just dead. I mean, I did that when I was a kid, but kids today don't do that.
I don't disagree with you about that.
What
I was
do.
Trying to point out is that the record companies have collapsed. Okay?
Yeah.
Comcast is not collapsed. Comcast has an enormous amount of leverage right now with their on-demand strategy.
You're crazy. They just bought NBC. Why did they spend ridiculous amount of money for dinosaur technology? Because it's only slightly more modern than their own dinosaur technology, which is broadband piping. And well, I want to get back to what Doc said about how Apple likes to fix markets. What they did with the iTunes store was they decoupled the music and the video from the distribution, the traditional distribution channels.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go directly and pull down what you want. And also, Apple just bought that company. I can't remember their name that does subscriptions.
Lala.
So clearly they're going to have a dual strategy. You can either buy your ones and zeros if you want. A lot of people will. But a lot of people, like Robert said, will stream too. But they are decoupling the content, if you will, from the distribution, just like they did with music. And that's why Comcast is in deep trouble, because the only reason we do business with Comcast is that they are the distributor of the things that we like to watch.
The only reason we do business with
totally.
Comcast, they have a monopoly over running pipes into our houses.
Comcast doesn't got a clue of how to compete with Apple. Not a clue.
I don't think it's Apple that Comcast is competing with. And I think that you guys are all naive to suggest that Comcast doesn't have tremendous leverage.
They have tremendous leverage, but it's going to go away.
Sure. All of this is going to go away.
All right, Steve, this week I went and visited Boxy, which is showing a new way to hook a box up to your HD screen and get all the online video to it. You know, and I'm playing a YouTube video in the background, which is in 720p. It's not as good a quality yet as, you know, something that comes over Comcast or my DirecTV on my big screen. I don't think this new world disrupts Comcast that much. I think this is an additive world. You know, TV didn't kill radio. You know, radio didn't kill newspapers, and newspapers didn't kill whatever came before it.
I couldn't agree more with what you just said, Robert. I don't think it disrupts Comcast as much as what I think Doc is suggesting.
I do think this new tablet device. I mean, go back to the map. If you're right that Kindle really radically changed the world and changed it for your non-computer friends, what if they get a device like this that has a touch-sensitive screen, which most people now are expecting due to the mobile phones that are all teaching them how to do touch-sensitive screens, with beautiful color images like this one, right, from the National Geographic? You can't do that on a Kindle. Now imagine you finger over this and videos pop out of here. That's a new kind of thing that Comcast can't do and Kindle can't do. And that's what Steve is going to show us on Wednesday. He's going to show us some new use cases that we can't do with what we're already showing.
I don't dispute that.
We can do that with our laptops.
I can't have this on the couch in front of me downstairs. I'm sorry.
Of course you can. You've got a laptop.
You're a geek. You know, normal people don't want a laptop.
You don't sit on the couch with a laptop?
Break.
Normal
Seriously,
people.
Robert?
There are no
Give
normal
me a break.
People
Go into a
call.
Normal person's house and study how they use media. They don't sit there on the laptop like me and you do. They might sit there with a mobile phone. My wife, you know, plays games on her iPhone all night while I'm watching TV.
All right, look.
But
look,
imagine
look,
a newer screen that has a control of your digital
simple,
life around you.
The simple fact is that these Apple tablets, they're going to be sold into, each individual early adopter home. According to the Wall Street Journal, there's going to be some sort of sharing interface which allows, you know, mom and dad and the kids to be able to do it. There will be a war that breaks out. I've just, you know, at the tail end of a war about the iPhone, which has now spread to our 8-year or 9-year-old, because it just became impossible. It was worth spending whatever money it was just to shut her up. And everybody's got an iPhone. So the first year there will be penetration on the order of maybe 1 million devices. And then that will multiply in each household by 4. Now, is that going to be entirely going to be owned by Apple? I don't think so. I think Google's going to come in with a similar device. And I think that they're going to create tremendous price pressure. And whether Amazon gets absorbed by Google or not, I would think that that's a possibility. The same thing with, on the cloud side, Microsoft absorbing it. The dynamics of the Bing transition onto the iPhone, as has been rumored recently, that's a very interesting disruption. This is not a single,
Whatever happened to that big Microsoft table thing? Isn't that their stake in this, and can they shrink that down?
No. I mean, how many...
You were keen on that for a while, Robert.
What's that? I'm sorry.
That the Microsoft
the Surface thing.
Who cares?
Surface.
Yeah, the Surface computer. That gives you an example of some of the usage, the how the user interfaces are changing due to touch and due to things you can place on the Surface. But and I expect Apple to do some magic like that. Steve Jobs has some magic on this device that he's going to show off, and you're going to go, "Wow, that's crazy. That's new. It's different." If he doesn't have that kind of magic, then all we're looking at is another Windows tablet, right? I sat in the front row at Steve Ballmer's keynote at CES. He pulled out a tablet. It looked plenty interesting, right? Thin, nice color screen, good battery life, but he didn't show anything on it. He didn't have magic to show. He didn't show us a color map that comes alive when you touch it, right? He didn't show us a device like Jim Cameron used to film Avatar. I don't know if you watched how he filmed Avatar, but he was holding up a tablet-like camera device that when he aimed it at the actors, he could see on the screen what those actors in virtual space looked like. That was a new usage pattern, a new magical interface that didn't exist 2 years ago. So if Steve Jobs shows us something like that, that takes our minds and frees them of this stupid laptop device that you guys keep saying, oh, it's good enough, then I think he'll deliver in spades on Wednesday.
Well, how will he not do that? He will show shit we've never seen before. It's inevitable. That's going to happen.
Right, but is that going to turn the marketplace?
He probably will. I think he's good enough at it at this point. He's not going to do anything that doesn't turn the marketplace. That doesn't reform one or more marketplaces at once. They're not going to go into it.
I think it's more about
what they want to do.
I think it's more about, as what Robert said before, I think it's more about priming his channel, establishing a connection between the iPhone and the MacBook Air and the iMac on the desktop and the television set. The iMac is going to become a TV directly, and this so-called slate is going to become how we move this data around during work and during play. The MacBook Air and the Slate will merge into the similar device. There will be no hardware keyboards anymore. It'll all be virtual.
Oh, please, God. If
it feels like it, you better not step in it. I mean, what's the difference?
Kevin. Kevin, you need to have a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old at home to see just how
far... I've got two.
I know, but, I'm studying how these 16-year-olds work together. They all have iPod Touches. My son says there's very few people at school who don't have an iPhone or an iPod Touch. Yeah, the usage model of typing on the screen has changed for this generation.
If this
device comes out with an even better haptic keyboard that is even better, it's over.
Okay, so let me give you a counter. Apple has that really nice aluminum Bluetooth keyboard. You know the one I mean, right?
You mean this one?
Yeah. But what's missing is the trackpad. You can't actually touch the thing to pan anything, right?
You mean this thing?
Yeah, so you have to do it with that. Okay, that's broken. What you want is that keyboard with the little trackpad on the bottom that my laptop has.
What if these get merged and put into the glass
here's
on your tablet?
Here's the Apple trackpad right here.
What if those get merged and put into a keyboard that can then work with the flat screen or not, can work with the TV or not, can work with...
Go
the
ahead. You're on,
Andrew. So that the thing can be on your lap. So that you can have that control, but the screen, whichever screen is...
We haven't that, seen that what work. Kind of peripherals we're going to get for this tablet PC. I'm at, you know, when Boxy showed me their Boxy Box this week, they showed me a new remote control that works both with your computer or their Boxy Box, and that remote is selling hotter than the Boxy Box, right?
Okay, because Andrew, go ahead.
Geeks like me and you know how to set up a Mac with Boxy software on it, and we just want the little tiny remote that lets us interact with it, with our TV screen.
Okay, Andrew, go ahead.
So I don't know if you guys saw the Times piece this morning about the music business, which suggested still that 95% of online music is illegally downloaded and the state of the music business, which one can interpret, obviously, in lots of different ways.
Duh.
But my question is we're obsessing and fetishizing, as always, the technology and the interfaces. But if this product is any good, what is the impact it's going to have on the creative community?
It depends what tools are provided, and also it depends on standards. Like what we learned with the PDF, that was many years in the making, but now there's no way you could produce facsimile static content without writing it to a PDF. It's going to take a long time.
Sure there
time.
Is. You use HTML. PDF is the legacy thing for pretending you're printing it. Yeah. Whereas HTML is the way of laying out something that can do all these things that Andrew and you were asking for.
Right. This is the Silverlight versus HTML5 argument. And yeah. You're both right.
You know, the iPhone shows us where the developer platform is. You know, nobody argues about creating great video games on the iPhone. So why do we need to go through those developer arguments again? You're going to see the same kinds of apps on the slate that were developed
sure,
for the iPhone.
The slate's going to have a browser on it, obviously.
Is it going to run Flash?
No.
No.
Okay,
so
and that's
jobs,
where most of the multimedia editorial goes. It's developed in Flash.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. My MacBook Air
I don't
runs...
agree with that anymore. The iPhone has radically changed that position.
Hang on. My MacBook Air runs Flash just fine, thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. I'm saying it's coming from the iPhone world, not from the Mac world.
Oh, so you're saying
I'm
that...
I'm saying the new device
you're saying
the
MacBook
the
Air
world
is coming from the iPhone world... from the desktop, not from the
So the new thing will be from the iPhone fork of the OS, not from the macOS fork of the OS.
And you think that they're going to get away with embargoing rich media while that we wait for HTML5? You think that that's going to work on
there's
the...
No, there's no waiting. You keep saying this, and there's no waiting
please.
There.
Look at your iPhone. Look at the iPhone and the kinds of rich apps that are available on there, and nobody cares that there's not Flash on the iPhone right now.
I'm not talking about
I'll
Flash.
Take back, by the way, I assume that this is going to be a Mac OS
I do, okay.
fork, but that it will run iPhone apps. I think in the iPhone app window or whatever comes along that's going to run these apps from the iPhone store, I think their Flash is not going to be supported. Flash is never going to ship on the iPhone. I think, you know, but
it doesn't
matter.
There's
a full OS
Robert,
underneath.
You already made the point that it doesn't matter whether Flash ships on the iPhone. I'm not asking that. I'm saying that on the slate, if he embargoes Flash on the slate, he's essentially ceding the point that this is not going to be a replacement for the rest of the line. There's going to be flashes. I mean, is Flash going to be available on Chrome inside the Chrome browser? Yes. So on the 95% of netbooks, are they going to run Flash? Yes. So. Is that the disruption that Jobs is looking for with the slate? I don't think so.
But keep in mind how Apple's treated us in the past, right? When they switched from OS 9 to OS 10, they put OS 9 in a sandbox, and you could run Quark Express in that sandbox, but you couldn't run Quark Express in the full glorious OS 10, right? You had to wait for them to upgrade that software for OS 10. I think they're going to have some sort of new interface that's going to have OS 10 underneath, You know, so you can run Flash if you want to in some sort of browser window or sandbox or in old style apps. But I wouldn't be surprised if they treated it like how they switched over to OS X, that there's a new interface that's going to have a very centric iPhone centric look on the world, and that's where they're.
Andrew,
they won't
just jump in when you don't have to raise your hand. Just jump in.
Oh, I thought you'd cut me off. No, I think I really like what Sam was saying. So, Sam, my question to you is: as a writer, for a writer who doesn't want to work through publishers, who wants to distribute their stuff immediately and directly, what needs to be on this device or this new platform? What will you be looking for next week?
Well, writing is low bandwidth and simple. So what I'm talking about is, let's say, you know, this mixed
media. Well, I mean multimedia. I mean multimedia writing. I'm saying writing that incorporates other media as well, that changes the nature of the medium.
Flash and some ability to save the material to a static state, because people do want to consume composed content. I'm a little self-conscious to use the word content now because, you know, Doc's online, but people do want to be able to take an experiential medium like a video or a video yearbook or a video magazine and be able to store it in a static way. So that's why I said PDF. I think those are the things that are required. I want to mention that Google, okay, is going to be the antidote to Apple tying everything up within the famous walled garden, because they're on the same track as what Jobs is on. Jobs is ahead, of course, but Krishna Bharat at that Churchill Club panel made a very big point of saying that all of this stuff can be done in a standards-based way. You got to remember, CNN, Newsweek, all of these, the company Dan works for, CBS, these people don't want to tie up all of their art resources, video production resources, creativity, to narrowcast it to one platform. They don't. They want to be able to reach multiple platforms. Mm-hmm. Just like you don't have 40 news readers for 40 magazines. That will never happen. So the standards thing may have to play out in 2011, 2012, and Google will be behind that. But Jobs will have a year head start, and we should see what he does with it.
Steve, we're also expecting to see a new version of iOS.
Hang on one second. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, okay. Here's the thing. Apple's strategy is entirely vertical, okay? They want to verticalize everything, and Google's strategy is entirely horizontal. They want to horizontalize everything by making it standards-based. Both of them approached the cell phone business from completely different angles, and both of them are succeeding in blowing it up in different ways. Apple's doing it the vertical way by, you know, making it as easy as possible for developers and so forth, but there's only one form of hardware. That makes it very easy for developers on the one hand. On the other hand, it locks up the market after a certain point. And so the problem that Sam talked about is exactly right, and that's what's going to happen with this market as well. But lots of content developers are going to say it, you know, and distributors and publishers and the rest of it are not going to want to shoot for just one platform. But early on, they won't mind that because they like having just one target. That's why there's so many Apple iPhone apps, compared to RIM apps. RIM has 19 different different hardware targets and different SDKs and the rest of it. Apple's got one. But Google is going the other way, and I think it's very likely that Google will be the follower here and try to commoditize what Apple's doing. It probably succeed to some degree.
Okay, Robert, you were showing us something?
I use iMovie and iLife, and I think that part of this announcement is going to be a new suite of apps that will be aimed at using the tablet to create content and show it to other people. The act of having a little slate is very social. I mean, when I pull out my Kindle in airports or airplanes, people always ask me, what is that thing? And if I'm holding a little slate with video on it or with my kids' pictures or whatnot, people are going to want to touch it and look at it and see what the interaction is like, at least for the first 6 months, right? And so we're, you know, this is very disruptive. We didn't have the ability to create HD content the way we do now using $200 flip cams and these new style tablets, you know, or computers.
So the piece that Apple has dropped the ball on with iPhone was iChat and iChat AV. I was surprised that they never shipped that. I may have been some part of their deal with AT&T. But that strikes me as that could be the piece that they bring to this form factor. The ease of use of iChat AV is quite remarkable compared to any other video chat thing, you know, even Skype that we're using now. The fact that you can just click on the people, get them into a four-way chat that looks like Steve's little room there, but is in fact virtually done in software on your computer, is a very powerful thing that the Macs have had for a long time. The iPhone, the camera points to the wrong way to do that. If they set this little device up so that it can do that well, I think that could be a differentiating feature that makes a big difference. And because it's not designed to be primarily a cell phone power device, but primarily a Wi-Fi power device, is something they could do in this form factor and actually provide something there that is very strong and very powerful. That's a technology they already have that works well. And if I don't know how many of you have used iChat AV recently, but the stuff that it can do is actually quite impressive.
Steve, I wonder if anybody thinks of this as a preventive strike against the Xbox and Microsoft coming out with a Zoom phone that has a nice UI and is hooked into Xbox Live in some way. I look at how my sons play video games now. They play them on the little iPhones. And, yeah, they still play Xbox games, but they're more and more of their usage model is stuff that's in front of them because it's very interactive. I'm wondering what Microsoft's going to do here.
Yeah, I think Microsoft's going to join forces with Apple. And I think Google is going to join forces with Amazon. And, you know, we're going to see, you know, a very rapid roll-up of these devices into two major platforms, which will then... Sam disagrees. Go ahead. Explain.
I don't think that they are going to choose that war. They have to execute the advertising part.
Who's they?
They have Microsoft. They have so many billions, literally, of dollars invested in monetizing all this stuff. I think that they'll develop Windows Mobile, but I think that they'll draw the line architecturally at the smartphone platform level and what's possible at that form factor. But I do not in any way seeing them compete in anything that Jobs is going to show on the 27th.
No, I didn't say compete. I said they're going to join with them.
Their
rumors are that Bing is going to be the search engine of the iPhone.
Yeah, but that's an advertising marketing play, Steve. That's not a editorial content play.
Oh, really?
Play.
So what happens if you know, they never put Flash on the iPhone, but they start putting Silverlight on the iPhone?
That is never. I will.
Oh, it's never going to happen, right?
No, not a chance.
So what is going to happen right now? If you broadcast from Silverlight over IIS Media Server in Silverlight 4, you can broadcast to what is laughingly called HTML5 tags, and it plays directly on the iPhone. So Microsoft has already shipped an interoperable layer for video between Silverlight and the iPhone. This isn't what they're going to do. They've already done it. They've showed it at DEC.
No one cares.
That's not true. People do care. This is not about, I don't know who said this, this is not about the hardware. This is about the real-time disruption and what is being produced, as Andrew Keen says, what is being produced on this new platform. That is the disruption. Hang on a second, Robert. Look what happened with the Jay Leno strategy. NBC has basically just said, we're screwed. What we're going to do is we're going to go back to the idiot that, you know, maintains an unmonetizable lead in late night, and we're going to fire this guy who has people demonstrating for him in 10 major cities around the country. You don't think that that's going to cause a shift in terms of the way that people absorb media?
Conan, what does that have to do with Silverlight?
Conan is going to go to a real-time audience that's based on a YouTube or a streaming YouTube type of delivery system. He's going to go direct to the, to these people, these kids who are consuming their media. They don't watch television at a scheduled hour. They're not allowed to be up that late. So they sit on their beds with their laptop. I've got two of them doing this now at 3 a.m. communicating over real time with everybody. Yeah. They're absorbing all this media on their time schedule on demand. That is a huge audience that has discretionary income and buying power that is going to tip over. It's already tipped over NBC. Who's going to come in and grab that marketplace?
It's not just about that, Steve.
What is the record business going to evolve into almost immediately once the Apple tablet ships? We're going to see living liner notes. We're going to see real-time enabled releases of, you know, recording sessions, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I'm doing one of these projects. I know for a fact that this is about to happen.
Will I am told me the same thing.
I mean, how much do they have to pay? How much do they have to pay Conan to go away? $45 million. There's a reason why they're spending that money. Now, whether we think that Apple is going to be the one, or Google's going to be the one, or Microsoft's going to be the one, as I do, I think that they're all going to be winners in this. They're all going to have a converged platform that is going to allow this type of content to exist. But this is turning over the media industries. And where are there more dollars, in the media industries or in the technology companies? I don't know the answer, but I think it's a good question.
Matt in the chat room said, do people care about liner notes? Does anybody have a close connection to their music at all? I think Tap Tap Revenge points out that, yes, we do.
Absolutely.
People are buying music inside this game to customize this experience with their own music. And that is very powerful and something that Apple just shipped in the last 6 months, the ability to sell in-game or in-app music and experiences and videos and other things that are going to augment virtual goods that are going to augment your experience.
What happens when book authors and magazine authors and publishers suddenly realize that they've got a choice of at least two major platforms where if they call it an application, they can sell and get 70% on the dollar as opposed to 30% through whatever other preceding kind of roll-up technology is providing today. It's going to move through these industries so rapidly, it's going to make our heads spin.
Wait, just explain those numbers. What do you mean, the 30 versus the 70%?
Well, I mean, just the other day, the Kindle, remember them? Last week's technology? They announced they have a $9.99 price model, right? The publishers pushed back on that and said, okay, we're going to embargo, this new political book that just came out with, that says what Hillary said and, Harry Reid and all that stuff. They won't let that be released digitally for 3 months. Now, I would expect that what will happen with, the Apple announcement is that they will release it to Apple. On that platform because they'll also charge not $9.99, they'll charge something maybe 5% under the list price of a hardback, right? In other words, they're going to push that market up. So how does Amazon compete with that? What they do is they say, okay, we're going to open up the API for development on this platform. You can create an application, and as long as you keep the price under $9.99, for the content, pardon the expression, you get 70% of the dollars from that. In other words, this becomes a direct publisher's platform for authors. That's a very powerful model. That's how Atlantic Records got started. It's how a lot of the record companies in the late 50s and then the early 60s, it's how EMI, through the Beatles, became one of the four major cartel players. Is because they were taken over from within by producers, namely the Beatles, who wrote and controlled all means of production, including the artwork and everything else about those products. And they simply, you know, embargoed the singles, like, you know, Sergeant, what was it, Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane, which were the first sessions recorded for Sgt. Pepper. They were kept off the album and released as singles, and then there were no singles released on Sgt. Pepper. So they basically took over the LP and created an industry which we've now, you know, 30 years later, it's starting to devolve because of the online real-time market.
Yeah. Steve, if you want to see what if you want to see a real innovator in music, go look at Will.i.am or Black Eyed Peas. He has his own fans making content on his website. He did a video with something like 5,000 people in Chicago with Oprah, all dancing together, all making content with him. That is revolutionary. He told me at the TechCrunch 50 last year that he wants to make music that morphs with the audience over time, because he knows his audience is sitting in the back seat of the car with an iPhone or an iPod Touch, and soon with this new tablet or a laptop, and they are online 24 hours a day.
That's right.
And now they can create content.
That's
with
right.
Him.
That one of the most important things that gave Obama running room during the primaries was that Will.i.am song,
yeah,
which was produced independently, without any record company involvement, and, you know, they got all of the, you know, the basic stars of the time. It was kind of like We Are the World, only it was directed at a single artist. I mean, it's like, you know, when John Lennon produced Instant Karma, he called up George Harrison and he said, let's go out and record this. I want to be able to record it, produce it, mix it, and have it ship the next day. It took him actually 6 days before it was actually released in the United States, but it went to number one almost immediately. And this was not a Beatle record. This was a John Lennon record. These means of production are now in the hands of these artists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I think that's the point is the means of production are now in the hands of everyone. You know, my son last night sat down and mixed a song up in GarageBand and posted it on the net, and you know, if it was any good, or if enough people thought it good, then great, he could put it to iTunes and spread it out that way. That is the, you know, that is the thing that Andrew decries, but that is the thing that has made a lot of this stuff possible. I think that may be another thing to think about as these devices sort of fit the space in between the flat thing in your pocket and the bigger thing on the desktop, as they absorb more of that ability to do that. Imagine if you're you know, rather than having the sort of compromised cameras and things you have in these, you have you have something that's actually capable of doing proper recording. We'll take a music keyboard and a proper microphone as peripherals. We'll take an input from a guitar. We'll let you do that mixing and production work in something. You know, rather than carrying around the Porter Studio, you bring your tablet and plug the stuff into that. People do that now with the laptops. Because that's the form factor that works. But you could imagine that form factor getting smaller and becoming.
I think that, you know, Robert made that point. You know, this slate is going to be an extremely powerful recording studio, not only for audio, yes, but for video.
Yes.
Absolutely. And, you know, and Google's strategy of virtualizing the back end makes that one of many nodes. I mean, the project we're working on, we're using MacBook Air.
But it's not built
in 6 months. In 6 months, what?
It's not built as a studio. It hasn't been designed as a studio.
That's not true. I mean,
it's designed as a consumer.
OS X in the last 3 years has undergone a complete transformation in terms of the core, software code that runs the audio kernel, the video kernel, and everything, in between. Just because they haven't released that in a way that users can access it doesn't mean the developers can.
Well, they have on the laptop and the desktop. You know, that was when I was at Apple. That's what we were doing with the audio visual subsystems. Was making them good enough for production work. That's the point of the refactoring.
You're making my argument about why Flash is going to be available on this thing, if not immediately, very soon.
I
that's if you assume that it's...
I'm not worried about Flash, device. But the point
it's
is...
designed as one rather than a consumption device.
And Andrew, I want to introduce you to this song on Blue Microphones on YouTube. At CES, I met with them. Yes. They recorded an entire professionally recorded song on iPhones. And here's the song, right?
Go on, play it.
I'd like to underline a point that fantastic. Kevin made about
multi-track recording all done on iPhones.
Go ahead. So what's the iTablet going to add to that? I accept these arguments.
Hang on a second. You were going to say something, Sam?
No, I was just going to underline a point that Kevin made. It was a great one. He was talking about his son banging out a tune on GarageBand. Everybody understands about GarageBand. What's going to be this equivalent, the tablet equivalent tool that would allow people to integrate audio and video and text, iMovie
That's what Andrew was asking, right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And what is it? So we haven't talked about whether that would be introduced on the 27th.
Well, whether it's introduced in some sort of specific touch-enabled interface on the 27th, he's got 3 months minimum and 6 months probably to release this thing. So, he's got plenty of time to be able to do everything that we're talking about.
But the thing that I learned today on this call is that, you know what I do, Steve. I'm totally professional media down. That's my orientation. But what I got out of today is that the big opportunity for this tablet is going to be from the bottom up. And there are going to be all these dozens of new discoveries. Some talented people all over the world are going to be not just performing, but producing and integrating all this stuff. And I think that's going to be the core value proposition of this thing in a couple of years. It's going to be the pathway to pro-am content.
I wouldn't oversell the bottom up part, because typically these kinds of professionally oriented tools, even though they're made available at a certain level, bundled with the operating system. What I think the impact of this is that the so-called professional artists, the people who write books, the people that perform music, the people that we know of as, commercial recording artists, are going to have an equally powerful platform on which to bootstrap. That's where we're going to see this. The way that these people, I talk a lot about the Beatles, but the Beatles were emulating the Americans. They were trying to top Brian Wilson. They were trying to top, the black artist, Little Richard, et cetera, et cetera. They came out of a place of wanting to emulate and then move beyond artists that they revered. The artists of today are in a bit of a backwater as a result of the problems of being able to gain control of something other than a middle of the road kind of Jay Leno kind of. And the best thing that somebody said to me today, I don't know what it was, is the best thing about what is going on here is that Jay Leno doesn't want to do this. That means it's going to happen.
But I think
all these artists that have been sitting around trying to figure out how to be able to re-engage and be meaningful, reach audiences, and be able to produce material that's going to resonate with people, they are going to next Wednesday and... since the Nexus One announcement and since the release of the Kindle and the momentum that they've achieved in changing the economics of how you release this kind of product, that's going to trigger something that all of our children are going to want to emulate and be part of.
Anyone with a cause?
Which bar is this Steve going to have on stage?
What?
I was just wondering which star Steve Jobs is going to have on stage with him. Like, he had John Mayer to help introduce the GarageBand. Who do you have?
Yeah, good question.
Interesting.
Doc made a good point about the horizontal versus vertical. And I think that you're going to see more and more of a conflict between the horizontal and the vertical.
Yeah.
In the sense that, on the one hand, the Google model, the horizontal model, is one which I think you guys all like, of the bottom-up. of more of a democratization of culture, whereas I think the Apple model is the reverse. And one of the reasons why Apple won over the music business and why now they're winning over the publishing business is because they do maintain more of a distinction between author and audience than the other people in this business. So I think the most interesting philosophical conflict in the next stage of all this stuff is the struggle between the horizontal and the vertical. It's not just Google versus Apple as two big companies or two big groups of sort of ecosystems, but it actually represents a fundamental ideological conflict between how to produce, distribute, and sell creative work.
Doc, do you agree with that?
I agree totally, actually. I think there's, in the long run, you get and logic out of this, not or. But there's a lot that can, even a lot of my friends in the open source world, which I'm very plugged into, agree that you're not going to get a lot of certain kinds of innovation unless somebody verticalizes it first. And Apple is better than that than anybody. They're just amazing.
Except in one area, Doc.
An unusual case, too.
Except in one area. When I got my Google Nexus phone, I signed on with an email address, and all my apps showed up. Apple has not delivered that kind of integrated experience across all its devices yet.
That's true. I'd like to make another prediction, which is that Apple will come out with something that's absolutely fabulous, and it's going to be missing one little thing that's going to piss everybody off. They always do. You know, it'll have too little memory, or it won't do multiple programs at the same time, or some other thing like that. It won't have the iChat that they should have had the first time, or who knows, you know, but it'll be something.
Well, I do know this. Anybody with a cause is going to be all over this. Everybody from the Mormons to the teabaggers to Al-Qaeda to the NFL to the PTA.
Now that the Democrats have shown them their true colors, I think the Republicans are going to take advantage of it.
No doubt about it.
It's funny you mention that, Steve, because the Republican Party sent me a press release just today that said that they're better at using Facebook and Twitter than the Democrats, and they had a whole bunch of stats on
if Obama can persists and thinking that he can get away with just signing on with the Republicans, boy, has he got another surprise coming. They need to pass that thing through the House today, and they won't.
It's
dead.
No, they won't.
It's dead.
He's in a world of hurt.
Pre-existing conditions are gone.
I've enjoyed it. So,
thanks, Doc. Appreciate it.
See ya.
Bye, Doc.
Hey,
bye-bye.
All right, I'm gonna shut this one down. thank you for the. I think that was produced in GarageBand, by the way. It just shows you what that's capable of. I know that. Our
music
was produced in GarageBand, and I'm proud of it. This is Steve Gilmore. This has been the Gilmore Gang. I want to thank Rackspace for being our sponsor, without whom this would not be possible. I want to thank NewTek and their fabulous TriCaster for doing in a combination of hardware and software what Kevin is talking about being possible on the Mac, although not really. We want to thank them without this not being possible. I want to thank Building 43, as Robert Scoble points out, for carrying this into integrating the fabulous friend feed conversation. I want to ask quickly before I thank everybody else, could those of you in the chat room please indicate whether you are running Silverlight, and if so, which version, so that we can compile that data. And I want to thank Andrew Keene.
Thank you.
We have reached something near to the apocalypse when you and Doc Searles are in complete agreement about I couldn't believe that what I just heard. I want to thank
Kevin
Marks.
He agreed with me. I didn't agree with him.
I don't know about you, Steve, but I can't get to friend feed right now. So
yeah, they've been speeding up and slowing down today. It's probably because Dave Marin has left Facebook. Kevin Marks, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dan Farber, I'm pretty sure he's probably dropped off, but I want to thank him for joining us. And Doc Searles as well. This is Steve Gilmore. I want to thank everybody who showed up, And it's I said thanks to Sam, didn't I?
You did first.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Enough from the peanut gallery. This is Steve Gilmore. This has been the Gilmore Gang. I want to thank everybody who showed up, and especially those who didn't. We'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.